Hey, Indicator listeners, we want to hear from you. If you have a spare minute, please take a brief survey. Tell us what you think of the show. Just go to npr.org/indicatorsurvey. That's npr.org/indicatorsurvey.
NPR.
A few weeks ago, you might remember, we at The Indicator purchased some property. And so...
You purchased us a plot of land somewhere in outer space?
No, not in outer space. I bought us an acre of land on the moon.
What?
I have the certificates right here.
How much did we spend for this acre on the moon, out of curiosity?
It's an excellent question. It was $25. Of course, I bought this as a joke. There was no part of me that thought we actually owned an acre of the actual moon. But then I started looking into it, and it turns out we might. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, property in space. The laws around buying extraterrestrial land or resources are pretty nebulous. And for a long time, this was just a moot point. Almost nobody went to space, much less did business up there. But that is changing fast. Now you've got Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson going to space, and people are starting to get serious about locking down the right to cash in on the final frontier.
Support for NPR and the following message come from American Express. When's the last time you took a day off? Or had a meal? Changed your clothes? Yep, sounds like it's definitely time for that break. Luckily, Amex is here to help you get some me time with offers on dining, shopping, and travel. Some of the many things you can expect when you're with Amex. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Terms apply.
Who owns the moon? If you ask Christopher Lamar, he will tell you his dad owns it. Chris is the president of the Lunar Embassy. They sold us our acre of moon.
Lunar Embassy is a company that provides a methodology for the distribution of equity upon celestial bodies within our solar system.
You sell property in space.
I sell property in space.
Lunar Embassy is selling this property in space, based on Chris's dad, who claimed ownership of the moon and all the planets 40 years ago. It was a really low point in his life. He was going through a divorce and really struggling with his finances.
And he's sitting in a red light, and he's saying to himself, if only I owned a lot of property, things would be a lot better, right? And staring at him in the windshield was a full moon. And he said, well, there's a lot of property. And right then, two epiphanies hit him.
Epiphany number one. Something he remembered learning in a college class about the 1967 International Space Treaty. Countries like the U.S., the U.K., and Russia all agreed that the moon and all the planets were the, quote, province of mankind.
No governmental entity or sovereign entity can own, have jurisdiction, or authority over any of the celestial bodies within our solar system.
The treaty, however, did not say anything about individuals or companies not being able to own or have jurisdiction over the moon and the planets. And that is where epiphany number two came in.
The Homestead Act of 1862.
The Homestead Act said people could claim land on the western frontier, sight unseen, as long as they would agree to live on it and pay a small registration fee. After this red light eureka moment, Chris's dad headed to the county recorder's office in San Francisco.
He filed a claim of ownership for the Mooniverse, the other eight planets in our solar system, and their moons in entirety.
Chris's dad just said, hey, so you know the moon and also Mars and Saturn and all those, no country has the right to claim them, but individuals technically can. So, dibs.
First county recorder said, wait, what? And it actually took quite a while. A manager had to come over, and it basically came down to, look, I'm going to give you the $35. I want you to put a stamp on this piece of paper and put it in your filing cabinet and record it. I'm recording a document, period.
Chris's dad bought the moon and all the planets for $35. Just like that, Lunar Embassy was launched. You can go to their website and take your pick of planets. An acre of Venus, Mercury, Mars, the moon. For $25, it can be yours. And Chris says a lot of people have taken him up on this offer over the years.
We're reaching 6 million landowners.
6 million's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, 6 million's like, it's like your business is worth millions of dollars.
Correct.
More than $100 million, actually. Lunar Embassy has a staff of 7, mostly lawyers, and a lot of high-profile clients.
There's been a lot of celebrities. Eastwood, Tom Hanks, William Shatner, past presidents.
Like Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
Does Clint Eastwood, like, own property on the moon?
Yeah.
Is he, like, maybe near us?
Possibly.
Ankara says nobody, not the government or the UN, has ever challenged his business or his ownership claim. But a little healthy competition might be on the horizon, namely NASA.
You could argue that what NASA is doing and what the Lunar Embassy is doing is essentially the same thing.
Atoussa Araxia Abrahamian is a journalist and author who researches property and jurisdictions. And in the course of her research, she came across something really strange. Some contracts that NASA had drawn up with a bunch of little private companies.
NASA has given a handful of small emergent space companies contracts to go to the moon, gather some materials from the moon. I believe it's called lunar regolith.
Is it just like dirt?
I mean, it's dirt, but it's really cool outer space dirt.
The contract states that NASA would then buy the dirt from these companies when they get it back to Earth for not a ton of money.
I think the biggest one I saw was like $1,000 or a few thousand dollars.
So why is NASA doing this? After all, it's planning its own mission to the moon in a couple years. Could just get its own dirt instead of getting middlemen involved. But according to Atoussa, the logic behind these contracts is very similar to the logic Chris's dad used at the county recorder's office 40 years ago. Namely, creating a paper trail and trying to establish a legal precedent in a place where property laws are unclear. In the case of NASA, says Atoussa, these contracts are establishing that if you bring something back from space, it is then your property.
They are establishing a really important precedent that moon dirt can be bought and sold. And not only can it be bought and sold, but it can be bought and sold by Earthlings on Earth using Earthling dollars. So what they're trying to do is create a market for things that come in from outer space.
Right now, this market isn't worth that much because going to space is really expensive. So even if you found like a diamond mine on the moon, it probably wouldn't be profitable to get those diamonds. But Atoussa says costs of going to space are falling. More private companies are getting in on the game. And with these weird little moon dirt contracts, NASA is establishing an economic precedent for buying and selling stuff from space. For their part, the companies that are spending millions of dollars getting moon dirt only to sell it back to NASA for peanuts, they are getting legitimacy and establishing a business relationship with NASA. In other words, says Atoussa, a market is born.
I just think it's really cool to just watch an agency and some companies and some machines just basically start a market from scratch. It's fascinating. I feel very privileged to be able to watch this happen. It's almost like watching the wheels of capitalism turn.
Christopher Lamar, president of the Lunar Embassy, is watching these wheels turn as well. He says he worries that the moon and Mars are going to be totally taken over by wealthy companies before any regular people have a chance to get there or claim anything. So Chris is hopeful that some of his millions of lunar landowners, like us, will speak up and help the Lunar Embassy secure its ownership claims.
Before they figured out a way, large corporations, governmental entities, positioned themselves towards resource grab. We wanted to have a large enough base of landowners say, hey, no, wait.
Say to NASA and these private companies, hey, you can't take those diamonds. That's my lunar land. Get off my crater. Also, we would love to hear from you. Go to npr.org/indicatorsurvey. That's npr.org/indicatorsurvey. Tell us what you think of this episode of the show and of some of the special investment opportunities that you only hear about here at The Indicator. You guys were selling like all of Pluto. Is that right?
That's in its entirety, correct.
How much is Pluto?
$250,000. It's a great investment.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin with help from Julia Ritchie and Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha and Caitlin Nicholas. The Indicator is edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.